Jesus did many other things. Jesus did many other miraculous things in the presence of his disciples, which are not reported in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When I was young, I was told what seemed to be the most outrageous thing. We were learning about the atom, which we were told was the building block for ordinary matter. Well, that made sense. Every kid played with building blocks at some point. You can make anything with them. Basically, one is only limited by one's imagination. So the idea of atoms being the building blocks for pretty much everything else made sense. The word came from the Greek for indivisible, and I guess that made sense as well. This atom or building block was the smallest item, and when it was put together with other building blocks, something else was created. It all seemed quite logical and made perfect sense, even to this non-scientific mind. I remember how we looked at so many examples of things that were constructed with atoms. The desks in the room, the chairs, the windows, the lights, even our own bodies, everything around us. We laughed as the teacher invited us to experience the construction of those items, to bang them with our fists to make sure that we knew that they were solid. We were invited to pat ourselves so that we could feel the structure of the human body. And then the teacher said the impossible. And the laughter stopped. He told us that those atoms, all put together in a certain way to construct those particular items, were mostly empty space. Because charged particles repel other particles of the same charge, they are not easily compressed. But the chair, the desk, the window, the light fixture, even our own bodies, are not solid as we understood the concept. Instead, we were supposed to accept that all those items were mostly empty space. We were supposed to accept the word of that science teacher because he was the teacher. Our own senses told us something completely different. I guarantee if you smacked your head on the corner of one of those desks in question, or you stubbed your toe on the way into your pew this morning, your head or toe would not say, "Oh, well, that didn't really hurt. After all, the pew is mostly empty space, or the desk isn't solid anyway." Your toe and your head would both start complaining immediately that they got hurt. There would be no thought given to the empty space of the pew or the solid nature of the atom. But as outrageous as atomic and molecular structures seem to be, as much as they appear to violate our own experience of the world, we accept those things because science says it is so. I cannot prove with my eyes that atoms are mostly empty space, and I certainly cannot prove from banging my shin that the edge of the pulpit is not solid. But I'm supposed to believe that this is true and accept the concept because science says so. We live in a culture where we are asked to accept some pretty wild ideas. And yet, those same folks who would argue in favor of the idea that most things are made up mostly of empty space would also argue against one of the other wild ideas of our society, because they cannot prove it with their senses. Now, the Apostle John spent 3 years with Jesus, watching, listening, learning. John was the kind of guy who tended to say little and ponder what he was experiencing. Over those 3 years, Jesus had done some incredible things. He had taught with an authority the rest of the religious leaders just didn't seem to have. He made some pretty wild claims, like being one with his heavenly Father and forgiving people's sins. And he backed up the things he was saying by performing some pretty unbelievable miracles. Except the miracles were believable because there were people there to witness them. People tasted the water he turned into wine at the wedding. And not only was it wine, the master of the banquet confirmed that it was the best wine they had served. Jesus healed the official's son without ever going near the boy. He just spoke the word. And the boy who was at the point of death made a full recovery. The man who had been lame for 38 years, waiting by the pool for his chance to be the first to get into the water when it was stirred up, picked up his mat and walked at Jesus' command. He turned a boy's small lunch into a feast for thousands. He walked on water, healed a man born blind, and raised Lazarus from the dead. And he performed the greatest miracle of all in his own resurrection. He died for the sake of others and became the atoning sacrifice for their sins. But his sacrifice was acceptable. He was the perfect payment for the sins of the world. And he rose from the dead. Now John, always thinking, didn't just write down all the things that Jesus did. As John said at the very end of his gospel, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would have been written. And think of all the books that have been written over the years about Jesus. Imagine if the disciples had tried to record everything that Jesus did or said, every miracle he performed, and everything he taught. But John, always thinking, had a plan when he began to write his gospel. The other gospel writers included other miracles and other things which Jesus taught. It wasn't that John felt that those miracles and teachings were unimportant, but he had a plan. He knew there was only so much he could record, and so he chose very carefully what he would include. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That was John's purpose in writing his gospel, to let people know what Jesus had done, so they could believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. That statement was extremely inclusive, but also very troublesome. To call him the Christ included the Gentiles, for Christ is the Greek translation of the Jewish term Messiah. John was making it clear that Gentiles are invited to become believers. This description, the Son of God, would have been troublesome for the Jews because God didn't have any children. The religious leaders tried to stone Jesus when he claimed to be divine. And the idea that he was more than a prophet, but rather the Son of God, has been a problem in the Jewish world ever since. And yet it is precisely because he is the Son of God that Jesus was able to perform all the miracles and teach with that special authority. Jew and Gentile alike have been invited to read and believe something very specific. John doesn't record that Jesus was a good man or a prophet. He doesn't suggest that people could learn something from Jesus or become better people by following him. He states quite simply that these things are recorded so that we may believe that he is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God. That's what we are invited to believe. And the reason is also stated clearly and concisely, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The miracles were never just about a show. They weren't designed to impress or wow the crowd. They were performed and recorded so people would understand who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of God. Because when we get to the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection of Jesus, it matters who he is. It matters that he is not just some good living man. It matters that he is more than simply a good teacher or even a great teacher or a prophet. Because he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, he can be the perfect sacrifice. He can die as the substitute for others, for those who don't deserve it. He can pay the price that we owe. And that is very good news. Because although we owe the price, we can't pay it. And without Jesus, we are damned. However, we are not without Jesus. The Gospel of John was written so that we could know what Jesus has done and said, so that we could believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we can have life in his name. That's the point of it all. So we can have life in him. He died and rose from the dead to give us that life. But it's up to us whether or not we want it. So today, as you come to the table to which he has invited us, ask yourself whether or not you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ask yourself if you have the life he died and rose again to provide for you. And if you don't, what are you going to do about it? Amen. And let us